time to worship. Amen. Love that. Would like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Exciting time to worship together. If you are a guest with us, we hope that you are welcome here. We hope that you know you're welcome here, I mean. And we have guest cards that are one way of showing that. That's a little way of us gaining some information about you and sharing some information about ourselves. They're located in the pew directly in front of you. If you could, fill that out, place it in the offering plate when it comes through, and we'll be able to exchange some information that way. Let's hear a promise from Scripture this morning in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Let's pray this morning. God, as we come before you for a time of worship, we are coming just as we are. We are coming humbly before your presence, gathered together as your church, seeking your will, seeking encouragement, seeking answers to questions, Lord, searching for your will to be implemented into our lives this coming week. Lord, may this time of worship transform our thinking. May we not leave the doors the same as we entered them, because we know that when we worship you and the love that we share from your love with one another changes things. It helps us to focus on your Son, Jesus Christ. It keeps him the number one priority. And it shows us how to share his love and tell other people about him all throughout the week coming up until we can meet again as your church. So, Lord, that's what we pray this morning. And we pray it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I heard a pastor one time said that there was too many people sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. Today we're going to sing Standing on the Promises, and I need you to capture each one of those promises as your own. God has given us a Bible full of them. 335, let's stand and sing.
Standing on the promises of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come here today on such a beautiful day. We thank you for the men and women that have made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have the freedoms we have. Please bless these tithes and offerings and help them to further your kingdom. For it is your name we pray. Amen.
How are y'all doing? Hope you're doing good. I have a question for you. I want you to think of a time you've ever been to a birthday party or had a birthday party. Has everybody been to a birthday party before, I would think, right? You've seen these before. What's this? It's a balloon, right? You've seen probably a lot of balloons at a birthday party. And sometimes they're filled with helium, but I don't want to do that because it would fly away this morning. But they're usually full, like this. And they'll have a string on them, and you might see a whole bunch of them together, right? Well, this afternoon, Lauren and I have some family coming over, and we're going to celebrate Lillian's second birthday. And we're going to have a lot of these balloons. But I wanted to ask you, have you ever been to a birthday party and seen balloons hung up like this? Well, no, that's silly, right? That wouldn't make any sense. I mean, it wouldn't make sense to hang up a balloon that's not full of air. Why? Because balloons were meant to be full of air, right? That's the whole reason they were created. So you could take it and fill it full of air like it was meant to be all along. Well, this morning, I want us to think for a minute about why we were created. We've been created to follow Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to specifically think about how we do that by letting the Holy Spirit guide us. Okay? So listen in Acts chapter 2. The first four verses tell us a whole lot about what it means to follow Jesus Christ and how to do that each day. Okay? It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, imagine this, a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, means other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. I've thought about that before. That was probably an amazing experience to be sitting in the room all together because it had been several days since Jesus had died, risen from the grave, and he had ascended into heaven. And so the disciples didn't have Jesus sitting next to them. But Jesus did promise the Holy Spirit was going to come to them and continue to teach them and guide them about how to follow everything Jesus had taught and to love like Jesus did. And that's still true for us today. So I wanted you to remember the whole reason we were created is to follow Jesus and to love Jesus and to tell other people about him. And the way we do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit when we tell Jesus we love him and want to follow him. And that's the whole reason we were created. So this week, pray for me. Pray for yourself specifically about how to follow Jesus and let the Holy Spirit guide you this week. Okay? So let's pray about that now. God, thank you so much for your promise of sending your Holy Spirit to us to teach us and remind us and guide us about how to love and follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Show us how to remember that this week. Amen.
Song is on the insert in your bulletin. The words are, and this song is what the choir sang as call to worship. We sang part of it, so we're going to sing the whole thing now. Let's stand and sing. Come, now is the time to worship.
What a beautiful song. What a beautiful challenge to come and worship our Lord. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. Let me remind you that our service will be ending differently today on this Memorial Day Sunday, as is our tradition. At the end of our service, we will dismiss after our invitation and head out to the cemetery, where there we will remember not only those that paid the supreme sacrifice to defend our country and our armed forces, as we do on this weekend with all of our nation, but also we will pause to remember those who are a part of our congregation who have gone to be with the Lord this past year. So we would invite you. We'll leave a little differently immediately following. This wreath will go. Our choir will be moving quickly to take off their robes and be able to meet us out there. And we'll head to the big old oak tree. And there we will conclude our service today. Again, let me invite you to our prayer needs. There are many that we are continuing to pray for very specially this week. And I will share with you, you see the name of Pauline Norris. She did pass away this past week after the bulletin had been printed. So that is the family of Pauline Norris. We want to be remembering, that is some of David's family. We want to be remembering them in a very special way. And we want to be remembering the other half of our congregation that I don't know where they are this morning. I know that our men's quartet is at Seagate Baptist Church. That is a very special place in my mind. That's where I was baptized. My daddy was a pastor of Seagate many, many years ago. And Anel is a member of that congregation. And our quartet is singing there in their morning worship. We want to be remembering them. And many are gone. I have been looking at Facebook. There are many at the beach, and we are praying for their safe travels as they go and a safe return, and hope they have a restful time. Pray with me. Lord, would you remind us that this list before us is a divine assignment, that these are people who matter. And Lord, remind us that our obligation may well be to add some names that are not printed on this list that we know about even now. And we'll find out more during this coming week. And Lord, as we lift these needs before you, we do it not only now, but we promise that we will do it through the week. That as you give us the remembrance of these people and as we find our disciplined time to pray, that we will call their names and ask for your blessing to be upon them in a very special way. Would you now, Lord, be with us as we continue to worship you this day in spirit and truth as thankful members of a nation, Lord, that many have paid a supreme price that we might have this nation. We ask, God, that you would bless those who have surviving family members. And out throughout history, we ask your blessing and ask that we might be a nation that blesses you, our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, prepare me a
Thank you, choir. What a powerful children's sermon that balloons only exist to have air placed in them. As you and I only exist to have the Spirit of God, that we become transformed into living sanctuaries. That is our goal. I believe, I want to tell you a truth, I believe God can change America when Christians really believe that our main purpose is to be a sanctuary to our Lord. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we live out that worship in our daily living. I believe God can change America that way. And I believe God can change America no other way. No other way save Him coming again and calling history to a conclusion and bringing in the kingdom in all its splendor and all its glory. Powerful. Thank you for that. I have worshiped already today, and I pray you have. Our text today is in Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to begin to read 31 through 34. Israel's in a mess. I love what Leo Green, one of the old-timey professors at Southeastern and the writer of the Broadman commentary for the book of Jeremiah, says these words. He says, Jeremiah and the Jews were faced with a problem. The old covenant had collapsed because the people had persistently broken it. It was made with the nation, and the nation had crashed on the rock of God's law. Isn't that a powerful statement? The nation had crashed on the rock of God's law. How can a holy God maintain relationship with a sinful people who, because of collective guilt, have been deprived of the country and sent into captivity? And that's where our text will be. The answer, Leo says, came in the concept of a new covenant, the nature of which would be such as to guarantee it against failure. One that wouldn't fail. One that would stand the test of time. One that would stand up even to sinful, rebellious people like you and like me. God would send that new covenant. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as we now read the Word of God, that it might speak to our heart and give us focus. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I love that. The days are coming. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the old covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them out by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is a new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would we be like spiritual balloons now saying, fill us, O Lord? Would we now assemble ourselves in that core spot, our heart, and say, make us a sanctuary? And may we invite you, O God, to write upon our hearts your word, that we might not sin against you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Words matter, don't they? They're important. I discovered in my reading this week that someone had decided to redefine some words that we're pretty aware of, like the word adult. An adult is a person who has stopped growing at both ends and is now growing in the middle. An antique. An item your grandparents bought, your parents got rid of, and you're buying again. That's an antique. A bathroom. That's a room that's used by the entire family and believed by all except mom to be self-cleaning. I like this one. Coffee. That's the person who was coughed upon. The coffee. Oh, well. Derange. You know that word, right? That's where the buffalo roam, right? Well, there are more, but let me just end what a vegetarian is. That's what the Indians called a bad hunter, was a vegetarian. You know, what I've discovered is the world's trying to change the definition of Christianity. The world's trying to change that Christianity. It says that anyone who casually acknowledges God is a Christian. That's not the definition of a Christian. That's not the definition of the new covenant that Jeremiah is reminding the children of Israel, who, by the way, will spend the next 70 years in exile because of their sin. The emphasis is upon God at work. I love what it says when God speaks to Jeremiah. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. And I will make the house of Israel come back. And I will write it on their hearts." It's God's initiative. If we understood today that what we really need more than anything else is not what we can do, but what God can do in us, we would have moved monumental amount of places to be with God. I think too many times I come wondering what I can do, instead of saying, "God, what can you do?" Well, quickly this morning, on this Memorial Day weekend, when we remember the sacrifice of so many, we do well to also remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, who established this new covenant in His blood on the cross. The first thing I want us to look at is that if we're to have a new covenant with God, if we today were to desire to have a new relationship, if we were to say, "You know, I really am like that uninflated balloon. I haven't been filled in a while. And I'm trying to do mom and dad unfilled with God's Spirit. I'm trying to be a husband or a wife unfilled with God's Spirit. I'm trying to be a church member unfilled with God's Spirit. I'm trying to go to work unfilled." If we were to have a new experience, if we were to leave not only humming, "Lord, create me as a new sanctuary," but we actually took that as our goal for this week, the first thing we need to know is that there's a new day. I love what he says. He says, "Behold, the days are coming." A new day. A coming day. It's someday in the future, but it's coming. And who knows? Maybe it could be today. Do you need a new day? Do we as a church need a new day? Does America as a country, do we need a new day? Oh, today. Today God could come to us. The Israelites were going to wander for 70 years. I just wonder if any of us might be willing to look at our spiritual inventory and ask ourselves, how long have I just been wandering around in exile from all of God's love, in exile from all of God's power, in exile in all of God's strength for my life and living? But today I would pray, oh God, let that coming day be today. A new day. A new way. The second truth. In verse 33 he says, there's a new way coming. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now that covenant is the exact same covenant that Moses said to the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. And that's exactly the covenant that Jesus established at the foot of the cross when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the covenant is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reality that I've understood, and maybe your understanding is, am I willing to accept that new way of life from the head to the heart? There are too many who have a head knowledge faith. We need a new way. We have some level of belief in the traditions of our church that we've grown up with. But there's often a dividing line between our theory and our practice. We all know we should share our faith because the Bible tells us to go and make disciples. But our heart says that's not really all that important. Not today. And we can do that later. We all know the theory of prayer. The theory that says God says that he inhabits the praise and the prayers of his people. And the more we talk to God, the more we'll understand what God wants us to do. And the more we can pattern our life after what God would have us to be. That's the theory of prayer. But our practice sometimes might look a little different. I wonder today if there's some area of our life that we would be honest enough today as we worship together on this memorial weekend to say to God, I need to move in some new ways in my faith. On the wall of President Lyndon Johnson's White House office hung a framed letter by General Sam Houston to Johnson's great-grandfather, Baines, more than 100 years earlier. Baines had led Sam Houston to Christ. Houston was a changed man, no longer coarse and belligerent, but now peaceful and content. The day came for Houston to be baptized. An incredible event for those who knew him. And after his baptism, Houston offered to pay half of the local minister's salary. When someone asked him why, he said, my pocketbook was baptized too. I wonder if all of us have been baptized. I remember a story years ago of a strong army. And it was a time early in the early church that this whole army was now coming under the influence of the Christian teaching, and the king wanted his army baptized, and the priest said, but they're men of war. We can't baptize them. And so in what I think was a heretical compromise, they decided that they would take those men into the river and baptize them, but they would all hold their sword arm up out of the water. And it wouldn't be baptized. I wonder today if there's some part of us that we haven't allowed God to be Lord of all. There's some part of us that we need that new way. Because we have been broken on the rock of God's law. And today could be a new day. A new way. If we were to say, Lord, fill me. Fill all of us. And make me a sanctuary. And finally this morning, a new say. A new word from a changed heart was going to come. I like that, what he says. They will know the Lord, and I shall know them. From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. A new way. Israel had a sin problem. You and I, we've got a sin problem. And that sin sometimes gets in our way. It can make our theory and our practice not line up like we wished it would. I'm convinced that God will never bring us a new word until we deal with that sin issue. I remember years ago I was on staff at a church not far from here. And our church was having some difficulty. There had been for several years a great deal of friction between the pastor and some of the key leaders of the church. And our pastor had been sick and had been out of the pulpit with actually some surgery for several weeks. And we had been filling in with several people. And they asked me on the the last Sunday before he was going to come back if I would bring the morning message. And so in my youth, as a very young minister, thinking, well, what we really need is joy. We've lost our joy. We've lost the joy in our church because when you'd go to meetings, they weren't very joyful. When you saw people in the parking lot, you knew their conversation wasn't very joyful. And so I decided I'd preach on joy. And so as I chose my sermon, I went to Nehemiah chapter 8, where Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And I thought, oh, this will be good. I'm going to change this whole congregation in one sermon. I told you I was young, okay? And it's going to just all be better after they hear this word from God. It's all going to be better. And so I'd been in the office that week and had done all the preparation for the sermon, the choosing of the hymns and everything, and had been working on my sermon. And this was the first time I was going to be able to preach before this congregation where I was on staff. And I was excited about that. And Saturday night, my phone rang. And it was a deacon in our church. And I could tell because generally we'd have a couple of minutes of joking and we didn't have any of that. And immediately he said, "Did you change the hymns for Sunday?" And I said, "No, no." And for the next 20 minutes, he shared with me his anger and his frustration and his lack of joy. Because he felt the pastor had gone and changed the hymns. And the hymns were fine. But the heart, hearts can become hard so fast, can't they? And you say, God says, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." I just wonder, is there something in our life that we, if we were really be honest, we'd say, "God, there's a sin in my life. I don't think anybody at church knows about it. I don't think anybody in my family knows about it. In fact, I'm pretty sure nobody knows about it, God, but me." Oh, yeah. You know about it. And God, for some reason, I don't quite feel as close as I ought to be, as I used to be, as I want to be. Today could be a day for a new covenant to be written upon our hearts. As sin, undealt with by God, interrupted us, in John Grisham's book, The Testament, he paints a portrait in one of his novels of a man who surrenders to God's will. Nate O'Reilly is the character. He's a disgraced corporate attorney plagued by alcoholism and drug abuse. After two marriages, four detox programs, and a serious bout with dengue fever, Nate acknowledges his need for God. Grissom describes the transformation. With both hands, he clenched the back of the pew in front of him. He repeated the list, mumbling softly every weakness and flaw and affliction and evil that plagued him. He confessed them all in one long, glorious acknowledgement of failure. He laid himself bare before God. He held nothing back. He unloaded enough burdens to crush any three men. And when he finally finished, Nate had tears in his eyes. "I'm sorry," he whispered to God. "Please help me." As quickly as the fever had left his body, he felt the baggage leave his soul. With one gentle brush of the hand, his slate had been wiped clean. He breathed a massive sigh of relief, and his pulse was racing. God's forgiveness is so powerful. It's so life-changing. I wonder if right now you might And I know it's going to be a weird request, but I'm just going to ask everybody in the congregation, would you just take a deep breath right now? Just let it out. God's Spirit would fill our spirit if we just take a deep breath of His grace, of His forgiveness. How do we take that breath? I'm glad you asked. We take that breath by honestly confessing our sin and saying, God, like the balloon, fill me. And like our choir sang, God, make me a sanctuary. And then the chorus we sang, come, now is the time to worship. Be true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for dealing with Israel even in her hard-heartedness with grace and forgiveness. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding, the joy that meets every need, the hope that stands in the midst of hopelessness, that we can be your people. There may be one here today, O Lord, that needs to come to you for the first time and say, God, I confess my sin and ask you to become Lord of my life. And Lord, hear that prayer and receive that person. Lord, there may be many of us here today who would say, I haven't breathed deeply the spiritual breath, but I need to. And today, oh God, I'm going to ask you to forgive me for that sin of negligence, that sin of hard-heartedness, that sin of prejudice, that sin of forgetfulness, that sin of just not paying close attention and making you truly the Lord of my life, or whatever sin it might be. Oh God, in this moment, on this beautiful day that you have made, would you fall fresh on us? And Lord, make us a sanctuary. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 296. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. Oh, may we sing that confessionally. And if God is inviting and encouraging us to make some decision, public or private for Him, would we do so as we stand together?
Thank you.
First thing I'm going to do is dismiss the choir to go and take your robes off now. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we conclude our service in our cemetery. I do hope you'll read the bulletin. And if you haven't been by the kitchen over in our newest building, we have everybody's service. Our nominating committee could be greatly expedited in their work. If you would stop by and fill out that sheet they've got in our little post office we usually use at Christmas time, you have a note with your name on it. I hope by the time we leave today, you'll get that. At this time, I would invite our ushers to come, and they will be leading this wreath that will ultimately wind up in front of our flagpole as a memorial for those who've served our country. And now our service will be concluded in our cemetery.